All right. So you can see I have some music here. I wonder what we're going to talk about, or I have a speaker anyway. Sometimes we feel in a really bad mood. We feel like things aren't going our way. And we feel kind of bad about ourselves, and we might feel bad about other people. We might feel angry or irritable, and no matter what people do, we kind of lash out at them. We want to just be mean to them sometimes. And it's really hard to change that mindset. And sometimes we have to change the things going on around us. And this is true of a story in the Lord's Word about a man named Saul. Okay, so if you have up here a picture of Saul, he's actually the man in the background. He was the king of Israel. And he had turned away from the Lord. He had stopped following the Lord. And so this distressing spirit came. And this spirit would make him feel terrible, and he'd be angry and irritable, and he'd be nasty to people. And it was not very good. So Saul's servant said to him, "Let your master now command your servants, who are before you, to find a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." They said, "Well, get someone who can play some nice music, and maybe that will help you." So they go and find a man who's very strong, who's very powerful, who's very skillful, but most importantly, he follows the Lord. And his name is David. That's the man playing the harp there. And so it was, whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, so whenever he was angry and irritable, and there's these evil spirits making him mad, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would go away from him. So Saul couldn't deal with this spirit on his own. He couldn't deal with his anger. But when someone else came along and changed the sounds he was hearing, he gave him nice music, it changed his mood. Now, we might even have some experience of this. You might be upset, and so you want to play some music. Okay, so you ask Mom and Dad, "Hey, Mom, can we put some music on? I'm just very upset right now." Now, imagine if you did that, and this is the music that was played. Let's see if... Do you think that would put you in a good mood? No, that would certainly not put me in a bad mood. That would be terrible, right? So we wouldn't want to bring in some of that bad music or that bad sounds. That would make it very hard to be a nice person. But what if someone then started playing something like this? That'd be a lot nicer. And it's that music that's so peaceful and soft, it would actually help you be a nicer person, right? Now, it's not just about listening to music. The things that are around us can help us become better and more loving and kind, and the things around us can also be like that nasty, jarring music that makes us unkind and mean to other people. So it becomes really important what we surround ourselves with. Again, it's not just music. One of the most important things is the people we surround ourselves with. If we surround ourselves with people who are always talking bad about other people and doing the wrong thing, it makes it really hard for us to be nicer. But if we try to find friends who are also loving and kind and do good things, it helps us be loving and kind and do good things. Now, there's someone who's really important in your life, hopefully, whose job it is to surround you with good things so it makes it easier for you to be a good person. That's a mom's job. And when a mom is doing her job well, she's surrounding you with lots of good things so that you have an easier time being a good, kind, loving person. And hopefully you've had that, and if you have had that, you can be very grateful to your mom. Your mom gave you that chance to be a better person, a good person, a loving person. But it's not just something your moms do for you, it's something we get to do for other people. Because when we try to be a good person who's loving and kind, it actually makes it easier for other people to be loving and kind too. So even if someone's in a bad mood, if we're still loving and kind to them, it's like playing that beautiful music, and it can help them be a better person too. And one of the people you can do this for, guess what? It's also your mom, right? She tries to help you do this. And you can try to help your mom be a better person by just being kind and loving and helping her out. And it changes the atmosphere in the house. It changes what the house can feel like. And we can help each other become better and more loving. So the things that are around us can either hurt us or they can help us be good people. And the way that we behave can help the people around us be more loving and good as well. We all have that job to play. Amen. You can sometimes tell a lot about a person by the things and the people they surround themselves with. And on the one hand, that's because, you know, the things we spend time on, the things we invest in, is a reflection of what we value. But it is on the other hand also because the things that are around us and we surround ourselves with actually shape us. They shape who we are. So one example of this, husbands and wives. Husbands and wives spend tons of time with each other, and you can see they start to become like each other. They start talking the same way. They start behaving in similar ways oftentimes. We see this in good friend groups where they shape each other, and at some point you can actually start to see it's like they're speaking in another language. And then as an outside observer, you think, like, I have no clue what they're talking about. But they're all speaking this language that makes sense to them. They've become like each other by spending so much time together. And this concept is also true spiritually. If we surround ourselves with heavenly influences, it's going to shape us into more heavenly people. If we surround ourselves with hellish influences, we're going to become more hellish people. And so where we spend our time, the way we spend our time, isn't just a matter of personal preference. It actually is part of choosing who we want to be. Who we spend time with, the things we choose to do, is not just about those things, it's about us and who we're becoming. Now, there are actually two kinds of places we can spend time, two kinds of landscapes that we can inhabit. One of them is the physical realm of places and things and people. You know, the physical place you are. You are right now sitting in New Church Westville. And it means you're surrounded by these objects, and it means you're also surrounded by these people. This environment, the physical landscape, is populated with family, with friends, with coworkers, acquaintances, strangers, even enemies, even people you don't get along with. But there are lots of people that fill the spaces that we spend time in. But there's also the spiritual realm, spiritual place. The realm of ideas and feelings. And that realm, the spiritual realm, is actually filled with not just ideas and abstract concepts. It's filled with good spirits and angels. It's filled with evil spirits and devils and Satans, all trying to influence us. Obviously, the good spirits were trying to influence us towards heaven. The evil spirits trying to drag us down towards hell. And both of these environments, whether we're talking physically, where we spend time in the physical world, or spiritually, where we spend time in our minds, shape who we are as people. The teachings of the New Church highlight just how integral those communities are to human life. And it particularly addresses those spiritual communities, because those are the ones we're not so much aware of, right? You know, you can, if I asked you, what's your community? You'd start listing people and places and things. If I said, what's your spiritual community? It's a little more abstract, but it's really actually quite crucial to how we live and who we are. So this is quote number one. Let's go to the first section of that. This is from the book Secrets of Heaven. It says, no angel or spirit can possibly have any life unless he lives in some community, and in so doing, in a harmonious relationship of many people. A community is nothing else than the harmonious relationship of many. For one person's life in no sense exists in isolation from the life of others. Indeed, no angel, spirit, or community can possibly have any life, that is, be moved by good to will anything or be moved by truth to think anything, if he is not joined to heaven and to the world of spirits through the many in his community? The same applies to the human race. No one, whatever, no matter who, can possibly live, that is, be moved by good to will anything or be moved by truth to think anything, unless he has, in like manner, been joined to heaven through the angels residing with him and to the world of spirits, and even to hell through the spirits residing with him. For everyone, during his lifetime, is dwelling in some community of spirits or angels, although he is not conscious of doing so. And if he is not joined to heaven or the world of spirits by means of the community in which he lives, he cannot go on living one moment longer. This passage is saying no one can live in isolation. Now, you might think you're an independent person. Some people do feel like I'm very antisocial, I don't need other people, I'm a free thinker, I'm not influenced by other people, I come up with all my ideas on my own. But even the most free-thinking individual, the most independent person, the person who is least attached to others, still is shaped by the community that he belongs to and interacts with. And even if someone were to go off and live in the woods and not have anyone around them, there would still be a community of spirits or angels that would influence his mind, influence his heart. People are shaped by other people. We cannot escape that. No one gets out of that, no matter how independent they might like to think they are. Now, if that's the case, if we want to change who we are, we can't just focus on ourselves. We can't keep, all those other people around us just the same, but change ourselves. We have to consider the environment we exist in. Now, our tendency is to get frustrated with that reality, to even deny it. How many times have you thought, well, I can spend time with so-and-so without becoming like them? Yeah, I don't like some of their habits and the way they talk, and they're kind of nasty, but I like spending time with them. I'm not going to let them change me. Or how many times have you kind of vicariously enjoyed bad things that people are doing, laughed at jokes where it's like, well, I would never make that joke because it's really at someone else's expense, but meh, I love being around people who make those jokes. It's not going to change. I don't make those jokes. The classic example of this that I've heard from a few people is a recovering alcoholic whose friend group goes to bars all the time. So he keeps going to bars even though he's a recovering alcoholic and just keeps telling himself, well, I can be around people who are drinking. I'm just not going to drink. Now, maybe some people can't do that, but the joke of that I've heard from people is, everyone listening knows he's not going to not drink. He's going to have one drink and then maybe a second, and pretty soon he's drinking as much as he was before. Again, that's probably not everyone, but it is a reality out there that because they're with people who are drinking, they end up drinking too. We all put ourselves into similar situations to a greater or lesser degree. Right? We put ourselves into an environment that influences us negatively, and we tell ourselves, I'm not going to let myself get influenced this time, and then it happens anyway. A very silly example. It might be as simple as opening your phone at the family dinner table, right? Just pulling it out. And you tell yourself, I'm just going to check one thing, and then I'm going to put it away, and I'm not going to look at it again at the family dinner table. And pretty soon, you're ignoring your wife and your kids, and you're getting irritated at them because you're trying to figure something out. Or you browse social media, and every time you end up feeling resentful of other people. You're putting yourself into this environment. I'm just going to go onto social media, and I'll enjoy it. And you start resenting other people for what they have, and you don't. Or maybe it's a party. You go to a party, and you tell yourself, like, I know these people party a little harder than I would like to. They drink more than I would like to drink, but I'm not gonna get sucked into that. And then you go, and you give in to pressure, and it sort of brings out your worst self. I could go on, right? There's lots of these scenarios where you put yourself in a situation telling yourself you're not going to let it influence you, And then it does. And it influences you for the worse. We like to tell ourselves we're independent of our surroundings. And so then we allow ourselves to be put into that situation where we're swept into behavior that we know is wrong, that we know isn't helpful, that we know isn't healthy, that we know isn't good for us. So again, if we want to change our behavior, if we want to change our attitudes, if we want to change who we are, we also have to work on changing what goes on around us. Now, that doesn't just mean giving up negative influences. It doesn't just mean I'm going to isolate myself from everything that's bad or influences me badly. We also have to start inviting in good influences too, to replace those bad ones. We see this in the story of King Saul that we read in the children's talk. Saul was afflicted by an evil spirit because of his past sins. He had made mistakes, he had turned away from the Lord, he had this spirit, this evil spirit, that was afflicting him. And he didn't just fight that off, he actually brought in something to replace that. He brought in the influence of David to play his harp. And any time Saul was afflicted, David would play the harp and the spirit would leave. Now this isn't just a story of, oh, how nice music can change your mood. There's a spiritual meaning here. And the spiritual meaning of this story is how the influence of the Lord in our environments, when we bring in the influence of the Lord into our environment, it can push away some of those negative influences. And we see this in the fact that David was chosen not just for his ability with music, but because his relationship with the Lord. This is what it says when they're describing him. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And Jehovah is with him." I think that last line is most important. Jehovah is with him. Saul needed someone who had the presence of Jehovah. It wasn't just he needed someone who could play the harp well. He needed the influence of the Lord in his life. And if we look at the music that David would have played or sung or used, we can see this. Because David is the author of most of the Psalms. And countless times in the Psalms, we see him using harps and other instruments to praise the Lord, to invite the Lord's presence. And just one example from Psalm 43, we hear David saying, "I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God." So again, he's not just skilled at playing instruments, he uses his instruments to praise the Lord, to invite the Lord's presence. And that's what these things stand for spiritually in our lives. The teachings of the new church say, since lyres or harps corresponded to a confession of the Lord, and evil spirits cannot endure it, therefore David used a lyre to drive away the evil spirit from Saul. So when we think of this story, we can think of David standing for those things in our lives that confess or point to the Lord. Those things in our life that bring the Lord's presence. Those are the influences that we want to look for to replace the influences that turn us away from the Lord. So how do we shape the world out there, the world around us, so that it can be that David in our life? Part of the difficulty is that something that points one person to the Lord might point another person away from the Lord. It was interesting when I was playing the music with the kids, one of the thoughts in the back of my head was, that music might sound really nice to one person and really bad to another person. There might be one person who likes screamo metal and think, yes, this really gets me in a good mood. And another person might think, this is the most horrific sound I've ever heard. So we have to be very careful about what we're looking for. Let's take Facebook or social media. For one person, that might be a great way of connecting with friends from around the world. They just delight in getting a peek into other people's lives. It builds community. It builds them up. It helps them see that Even though they live far away, they're part of this bigger community, and it helps them feel the Lord's presence in their life through those communities. And for another person, Facebook or social media might breed resentment and distract them from the things that are truly important. Right? It's the exact same thing, but for one person, it invites the influence of the Lord into their life. For another person, it invites the influence of hell. So right now, I want you to think for yourself, what influences help bring the Lord into your life? Even things that seem simple and even silly might bring the Lord into your life. You know, does browsing social media actually help bring the Lord into your life? It might. Does hanging out with certain friends, you know, those friends who bring out the best in you? Maybe it's watching certain TV shows or watching certain movies. But whatever it might be for you, we should be doing this consciously. Thinking about the things and the people that actually influence us towards the Lord, bring the Lord's presence for us. Now, a lot of these things in themselves aren't going to be right or wrong, good or evil. And that's maybe why we don't take them so seriously. You know, what movies you watch, that's not a good or an evil choice. It's not a moral decision. But when we start recognizing that some of these decisions and choices change our environment, either for the better or for the worse, and those in turn shape who we are going to be as people, it starts to become really important that we at least think about these things. You know, even simple, silly things, the daily activities, what we do with our time, that's our life. Are we surrounding ourselves with an environment that invites in the Lord or pushes the Lord away? Now, the longer that we've been under a certain influence, or the longer that we've been away from a certain influence, the more confidence we might have, well, I can go back to that and not be affected by it. The story of Saul and David gives some insight into this. David did not come, chase away the evil spirit with his playing, and then leave. Right? It's not like the problem was fixed. The problem was fixed as long as David was there. But if David was away, the problem would come right back. Saul kept David close. He actually even made David his personal armor bearer so that David was with him at all times. And so likewise for us, it's really important that we don't think, okay, I've invited the Lord's presence, his influence, I feel its benefit, now I'm kind of cured, now I can go back right back to my old habits, my old patterns, my old way of doing things. The goal here is to change our environment so that the things that confess the Lord, that bring the Lord's presence, become integral parts of our lives. I think there's a good analogy here with dieting. With a diet, you go on the diet, you change what you're eating, and you have a certain weight level probably where you think, I want to get down to that weight. So you get down to that weight, or you get to that level of health you were looking for. You don't feel so lethargic anymore. And sometimes we think, I've certainly felt this way, I think, great, I've arrived at my goal, now I can go right back to eating what I ate before. I did it. Diet's over, I can eat what I ate. And that's not going to work, right? Because as soon as I do that, I'm going to lose the weight, or I'll go back to feeling lethargic or kind of gross all the time. If I want to stay at that weight, or I want to stay healthy, that diet that I've been on needs to become my new way of eating. It can't just be a diet. It has to be how I approach food or health. Our health will only persist as long as we keep those habits up. So if you know that certain activities, certain people, certain habits pull you away from the Lord, that might mean you need to give those up for forever. The flip side of that, though, is the activities and the people and the habits that draw you closer to the Lord, those will hopefully go on forever too and become stronger and stronger. Now, in the end, Saul was not able to maintain a healthy relationship with David. And he succumbed to his selfish desires and to jealousy. And in spite of numerous apologies and requests for forgiveness, Saul's life ends very sadly. He has rejected David. He's pushed him away. The Spirit of the Lord has also been pushed away, right? He's turned away from the Lord and no longer has a connection there. And that end that Saul ends up at kind of stands as a warning to us. Again, that it's not just a one-and-done thing. The Lord invites us to continually commit to him, to continually change our habits, to change our behavior for good, to be on guard against going backwards, to be on guard against thinking, well, now I'm the kind of person I wanted to be, so I can go back to the old habits and not become the person I used to be. If we have the self-awareness to notice our weak areas, if we have the commitment to shape our lives so that we minimize the influence of hell, if we can embrace the things that inspire us with the Lord's love, then we will be equipped to remain the kind of person the Lord wants us to be. By changing our environment, we change ourselves. The more we change ourselves, the more committed we can be to changing that environment around us. And through this, we can actually not just create a heavenly space for our own selves, then the cycle turns around and now we're actually helping other people be heavenly. We're actually creating an environment in which they can be the most loving versions of themselves that they can be. And this cycle continues around and around. As we shape others, they shape us, and we shape them in turn. Amen.